Hey, what's up? It's the Black and Jew podcast, episode 17.
Can't believe we made it to 17, Reggie.
17. We said that about, can't believe we made it to 15.
Yeah, I'm going to say it every time. I can't believe we made it to 18, 19, 20, 21.
Can't believe we made it to 90.
If we make it into, if we actually utilize those triple digits on the podcast, you know, like how it's 016, 017, if we actually utilize those, that's when I'll be like, wow, I can't believe we made it to episode 100.
That'd be very sweet.
It's going to be a big day. You know, I'm not one for pomp and circumstance, but I'd be surprised.
What would we do on episode 100?
That's a good question. What would we do on episode 100? Confetti, but that's not good for a podcast.
Yeah, that's not good for a podcast.
Maybe episode 100, we actually try to find like a really prominent guest.
Right? <That'd> like, be sweet.
Like tweet every comedian in person that, and like get like, you know, Bill Nye the Science Guy on it or some shit.
Holy shit, that'd be crazy cool.
That'd be crazy cool.
What, two things. One of my fantasies is to have like
two unicorns sucking each other's dicks.
That, well, okay, three things. Okay. You're in my head. You're really in my head this episode, Mike. Thanks. One of the things I've always wanted was I either want like a local Miami rapper like Denzel Curry or Rob Banks.
Why don't we get him on one of the episodes? Not for the 100th.
Yeah, that'd be. They're not like local as in like I still perform at open mics. They're local as in like I'm being booked by like large like touring companies.
Hit them up. Yeah, fuck it. Hit them up.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, cool.
They may have PR people or whatever, but who gives a fuck?
All right, awesome.
It doesn't hurt to try, you know?
It doesn't.
I think it's cool to have non-comedian guests on the podcast.
Yeah, I think it is very
partially
cool.
Because I fucking hate all comedians except for you, Reggie.
You hear that, guys? I hate all comedians except for Mike.
Hashtag shots fired, guys. I hate those comedians.
The other thing I wanted to do was like, I never understood this, but it seems to work. Some radio programs always have like a porn star or something.
Yeah.
And then she's always undressing on the radio. And apparently that does very well.
I don't agree with that kind of objectification.
Oh, okay.
On the Black and Jew podcast. I don't think our girlfriends would be okay with it either.
Do they want this to lift off or what? All right.
It's for us, baby. This is for us. this is so we could get that Amazon.com banner that everybody has.
That'd be sweet if we could get one of those.
Yeah, we could probably get one of those.
They would probably give it to us.
We don't have a website, though. We need a website. That's one thing I need to do. I'm making an LA trip soon.
Ah, sweet.
Making a little scouting trip to LA.
That's fucking crazy. You're going to be moving to LA very soon.
Yeah, I'm not afraid.
You're not afraid. You shouldn't be. You're gonna wreck LA. You're gonna go in there, just kicking
hopefully,
LA
you know,
ass.
I hope that when I go there, I expect to, and I kind of look forward to just being like totally humbled and be like, "Fuck, man! Like, I'm shit." When I go to LA,
what if you go to LA and you're just like a monster?
I don't have enough flight hours in comedy for that. That's the thing about comedy, you know. It's like regardless of how good your innate writing ability is, like, you just need that stage time.
Yeah.
It's like Final Fantasy VII. It doesn't matter how good you are at battling enemies. If you don't have that XP and you don't level up enough.
And if you don't get Fyraga.
If you don't get Fyraga, you ain't shit. So
yeah,
I definitely don't have Fyraga. I got Fire, maybe Fire 2. I haven't played Final Fantasy in a while.
I don't think they start implementing Fyraga till later installations.
Levels?
Yeah. Later installations of the Final Fantasy.
Oh, so not 7.
Yeah, not 7.
7's the only one that matters to me.
That's
the best one.
10 was fantastic.
Wait, doesn't 10, didn't you have to go in a straight line for 10?
A straight what?
What system was that for?
That one was for the PS2.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else then.
Okay. Well,
Final Fantasy 10 wasn't the one where they're all tall and skinny, right? That was 8. That was Final Fantasy 8, I'm thinking
of. Fantasy 10 is the one with the very famous scene where like...
Oh, yeah, the opener, like the guy, the soccer guy.
Yeah, the blitz ball.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
The soccer dome, well, the soccer game that is inside a big fishbowl. Like,
yeah.
It's a big water dome elevated in like the middle of nothing. Yeah, no, that was a very cool scene. It's a very good, like, solid Final Fantasy. So yeah, no, it's really sweet.
Yeah, nothing 7. 7's the best though.
7.
You can't fuck with 7.
I have not played 7.
Really?
I tell people all the time, "Yeah, I've played 7."
Well, now the jig is up, Reggie.
Yeah, no. Now
you should get it. You need to get Final Fantasy 7.
It's on Steam now, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, it is on Steam.
Oh, fuck. Is it on Steam? You shouldn't have told me that.
Yeah, no, it's on Steam, dude.
That's like one of the greatest RPGs of all time. You got to play it.
You know what? I'll play it. I recently beat Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a 12-year-old game.
Facebook post about that.
It's a 12-year-old game. It came out in 2002 or 3.
Or did you beat it? Do you have the system or did you beat it on the emulator?
I have a Wii U that is still back. I mean, a Wii that's backwards compatible. That's still backwards compatible. And like, I had bought a copy of Wind Waker, just a disc from a GameStop a long time ago, back in 2012. I got so lucky to find that for just like $12. And it still functioned perfectly well. 12-year-old game still functioned well. And like, I beat it. I finally beat it. 100% everything. There's a mission. There's a side mission that's you're not obligated to do, where you take a picture of absolutely everything. You take a picture of all the enemies. You take a picture of all the bosses. You take a picture of all the NPCs.
Is this an achievement?
No, there isn't an achievement. This was before achievements.
Okay.
You just take a picture of all of them to have little figurines of them in a remote island that you go jump into, and then like you go into every room, and it's like they're just figurines of these things.
I wasn't really big on stuff like that. Like in Fallout New Vegas with the Sunset Sarsaparilla blue star bottle caps. I don't know. I was never...
Not a big collector? You're not a completionist? Or
No, not really. No. I kind of just like powering up my character as much as I can. Like, I don't really care about any of that, like getting every one of blank and blank. And I don't give a shit.
I am such a sucker for that.
You ever played Jet Grind Radio before?
Oh, Jet Set Radio.
Jet Set Radio?
Yeah, hell yeah. I have the Xbox version, the original Xbox version.
It's just fucking awesome.
Oh my gosh, that game is so... That's also on Steam. I had it for the
Dreamcast.
I have it for the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I love that game.
That game is phenomenal.
The only rollerblading game that I would ever play. I don't know how many there are that exist, though. So
I know of Jet Set Radio Future, and I know of this other one that for the PS2 that came with a special tech deck that went on your PS2 controller.
Nice.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting. I played it.
Stay with us, everybody. Stay with us, podcast listeners. I know Josh is probably still listening, but
yeah, no, Josh.
I feel like we could personally address every listener of our podcast, and it wouldn't really take that long. I feel like it wouldn't take a large part of the episode.
Two of them are in the house right now.
Yeah, two of them.
Two of them are in the house. You could call them in.
Well, who's your friend that on you mentioned her on Twitter?
Nell. Yeah, she. She wants to be the Jew.
She wants to be the Jew. Jewish, well, I'm sorry, Nell. Because like any other Jew, I'm the guy who owns all the equipment, and I'm exploiting the black people on the podcast and just using them for their talent. So unless you get your recording equipment,
I had talent.
Yeah, well, not that much. I mean, if I could find a better black guy, I would. But we got Reggie here. So Nell, hey Nell, what's up? You can't respond, but thanks for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jarrett. Thank you, Jarrett, for listening to the podcast. Jarrett is a very close friend of mine. He's a very cool person. We should have him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's Jarrett do?
He works for Bossip.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we should definitely have Jarrett on the podcast. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
If you want like dirt on like celebrities, Jarrett's your man.
Oh, yeah? Dude. We got it. That sounds awesome. We got to have him on.
All right, cool. I'll let him know.
My friend Dan Rivero is coming on for the next episode. He's cool. He's a journalist. He works for Fusion. He used to work for WLRN. It should be really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to skateboard really. He was like the best skateboarder in my high school.
I think everyone knew the best skateboarder in the high school.
Yeah, he was the best skateboarder in the high
school.
Like
that's cool.
Like it was like fearless, you know? That's so much awesome. Of good skateboarding is fearlessness.
I wish I was good at skateboarding.
Yeah.
I really
it's hard. It's harder than comedy, I think. I don't know.
Really you difficult. Get hurt more.
Yeah, that's true.
You get hurt more.
You do.
I can bounce back after a bad set, but I can't bounce back after a broken ACL.
No. Impossible.
How are you
liking this beer?
I actually do like it. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's Trader Joe's name tag lager. It's cheap as fuck. It's like $4 for a six pack. So it's like good for really cheap beer. And I like drinking it out of the can. It reminds me of college. I used to drink Natty Light out of the can or just use it to play beer pong. Do you ever play beer pong?
Yes, I actually have a beer. Like when I was up in Massachusetts for school, this girl in my Japanese literature class passed by my room while I, like, the door was open.
Yeah.
She passed by my, I was going to the bathroom. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh, hey, Reggie. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? How's it going?
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, watching Netflix. What are you doing? And then she's like, I'm gonna go to like this room and play beer pong. Want to come with? And I'm like, okay, let me put on shoes. So then I go. We go to this strange person's dorm, and there's nothing but a bunch of like Keystone Light,
mm-hmm.
Keystone Light, and they're playing beer pong. And that's the first time I've ever played beer pong.
Interesting.
Just in some stranger's dorm with very
shitty
beer. Usually
how the first time happens. I mean, you don't want to use good beer for beer pong. Like, what's the point? We used to go, me and my roommates used to go through like, we'd buy like the 24 packs of Natural Light, and the four of us would go through like a bunch of them. Like, we'd go through like one or two a night or something like that.
I can't get behind drinking like that.
Ah, well, you're too old now. Your time has passed. I stopped drinking like that when I turned 21.
I have never drank like that. Yeah. Never. Never. I am so... I'll have two drinks and I'll say, that's enough. That's good. I'm done.
Oh, God. You haven't lived, Reggie. You never had the spins?
The spins? What the hell are the spins?
Just like the room spinning because you drank too much or you smoke weed with the beer or whatever?
Hell no. I've never had that.
Oh, Reggie.
I really do greatly fear that loss of control. I don't like
it. What are
you
going to do? You're not like a
I'm unemployed, I understand, but still, I don't like that. I don't.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine when I have this happen to you.
Do you think I should get insanely drunk?
At least once.
At least once.
Just so you know that it's not worth it.
I already know
it used to be worth it. Like when I was younger, like I could drink like a ridiculous amount and like be okay the next day. Now if I drink too much, like I'm fucked. It's just like horrible. It's like absolutely fucking horrible. So I don't know. But I like this beer. It's $4, a 6-pack. Not too bad. Drinking out of the can, so it feels like I'm in college. Even though as much as I love college, I wouldn't go back to it. I like my life now a lot better.
Your life now involves like a nice home yeah. with baking bread. Yeah. You have a dog with a scarf on. Please, you've already capped.
A dog with a scarf. Well, we had a dog. We had a dog in college. Her name was Beast.
That's such a college name.
Her name was Beast. And she always like wore just hot pink collars and stuff. It was pretty funny. She was adorable. It's a little pit bull mix.
Let me ask you.
Ask Reggie.
So you're going to California.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you'll make it? Like, have you ever like given serious thought to like your life with like serious comedy?
Yeah, well, you know, in terms of making it, like I don't like to think about it like that. I try instead of thinking of it, like I don't like to think of it as like a big break, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think of it like mining, you know? You're just chipping away inch by inch. I don't know how mining works, but I'm assuming this is how it works. Chipping away inch by inch at a piece of rock until you reach what you're trying to do, you know? Or like building a sculpture or some shit. You know, I don't think of it as like, oh, I made it. You know, it's like I slowly grind my way to the top if I hopefully can. That's how I look at it.
So
I don't try to think too much about like, I'm going to make it as like, you know, just grinding until I get to where I want to be, you know, because it takes a while. And it's like, you have one plan and then you take another trajectory and you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
No, okay.
Like, so you think that you're going to go in one direction, and then you end up going in a completely different one, and I'm okay with that. So we'll see what happens, you know?
Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck. I just asked because I'm always thinking about making it.
Yeah.
Maybe not, like, making a big break and then bam. Yeah. Look at me. I'm on the next Judd Apatow movie. But, like, yeah. I always think about making it because, not because that's my ultimate goal, but because, one, well, that's one of the things I would want. And
yeah.
then, two, I just like, I don't know, you know, lately, sometimes I always have these moments where I'm just like, what I'm doing now, is this really stupid?
Doing what?
Like comedy? Like, am I really using my time effectively?
Of course you are.
Pursuing
you're
this?
A good comic, though.
Well, thank you. But by the way, I'm not fishing for compliments or like
shut
affirmation.
Up, Reggie. We all know that you are.
I am. Hair flip. I'm a drama queen. but I really do genuinely want to make it. And I think, like, I think maybe this is a bit conceited, but I do think that I have something to bring to the table. I don't know.
I don't think you do, Reggie. I think that you're a fucking hack.
I don't need you to think I do. Because I know I do.
That's why I have you on the podcast, because you're a hack and you make me look good.
I'd hate for me to be the hack of the Miami comedy scene. Like, everybody's like, yeah, you're good, Reggie. Oh my gosh, Reggie, the hack is coming.
You know what's funny about hacks is I've never heard a hack doubt themselves. Like, maybe like a little bit, but I've never heard a hack full of self-doubt.
A hack that just like, dude, am I doing this right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Of course I am. Like, that fucking Facebook post about that undistasteful Facebook post about Elliot Rodgers was hilarious.
Oh gosh. Oh, yeah. Fucking goodness.
I don't know. Well, yeah, man, but you know, it's like, it's just comedy, I feel like, was one of those things that you just got to keep doing it and do it. Because, like, every comedian that comes out of quote-unquote nowhere has been at it for, like, a decade, you know?
Yeah, true.
But for me, it's like I made a conscious decision. Like, this is the industry that I want to work in, yeah. Right? It's not for me, like, oh, maybe I'll make it. Maybe I'll stick with it. Maybe I won't. Maybe there's something else I'm going to do. It's like, no, this is what I'm going to do. Like, this is, like, I'm all in. This is what I want to do. So that's why I'm moving to LA, because I want to work at it. And I understand that. It's going to be rife with failure. You know, there'll be a lot of opportunities, I'm sure. And, like, I think I'll miss some. I won't miss some. You know, like, I think one will lead to prosperity and it'll lead to nothing. You know, I think that something that'll be like a whatever opportunity will turn to something big. Who knows? You know, or who knows? Maybe, like, I'll go there and discover that I like baking more and then become a bake. Who fucking knows? But for now, like, I made the conscious decision that I'm going to be. So, like, that's why I try to go up consistently and I try to, you know, like, do everything I can, because I'm not like waiting for an opportunity, because nowadays there's no such thing as like an opportunity that presents itself. You have to make your own. You have to make your own shit. You know, like, if you want to learn how to act, if you want to be in something, you have to make something. You know, you can't wait for someone to ask you if you want to be in something. Yeah. You know, you got to create the opportunities for yourself. That's my opinion, at least.
True that. True that.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. LA would be nice. It'd be a nice little change of scenery. It's kind of like, it feels like one of those things where it seems like a new chapter of my life is coming, because, you know, my parents are moving out of their house. I moved into here, you know, new things.
Interesting.
New things. Some of my friends have moved away.
And, like, you and Christine, you know, are ready for that transition to LA? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, she's down with it, right?
Like, oh, she's down with it, yeah.
Okay, that's fucking awesome. Damn. Who's this house going to? I wish I had enough money to buy this house after you guys.
I think we're going to rent it, probably.
You're going to rent it?
Yeah, I think so. Because who knows what's going to happen. So it's like, now we're going to sell it. But
maybe I should convince my parents to rent this place.
To rent it?
Yeah, to rent it.
Are your parents renting the house?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, they should rent this place. It'd be way better.
How many rooms? There's two rooms.
No, there's only two rooms.
Ah, damn. The other one has three.
How many people live in your house?
Me, my brother, my mom, and my dad.
You, your brother.
But my mom and my dad have separate rooms.
Oh.
They don't sleep in the same
room. Gotcha.
My mom and my dad are basically like really good roommates.
Really good roommates.
That's, yeah.
So they're separated or divorced?
They're, I don't know.
Are they legally divorced? Like, are they still
legally? No, they're not legally divorced.
So they're married but separated.
They're not even separated because they filed their taxes together.
So they're just like this.
They're married.
Okay.
But they just sleep in separate bedrooms. They don't even like, I don't think they even do it with each other.
Really?
I don't think they have sex. I think, you know what? I think they do have sex, but yeah. I'm just not aware of it.
As it should be. But are they like, so I don't understand, like, why do they sleep in separate rooms? Because it's like not working or?
Yeah, because it's not working. Because they don't feel the same as they did before.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But it's a very fantastic situation.
It's good that they could work it out amicably.
Yeah,
they're
just there together. They're just,
oh, that's so much better than fucking trying to pretend like every, like, I've seen situations like I've, that's like, you know, like I've had girlfriends that their parents are like hate each other.
Oh my
God. And they're still together and they're still trying to work it out, but it's like, just fucking,
and that's why those girlfriends, like, seek you out.
Exactly. get divorced or live in separate rooms like your parents, even though I'm sure a lot of people really can't.
Yeah, my parents, I don't know how they make it work. Like, yeah. They live in separate rooms and they still do favors for each other. Like, this is why I say that anytime anybody asks me about my parents' living situation, I'm just like, they're really good roommates.
Yeah.
Because they just develop this weird, like, friendship where it's like, it's like a tree with a weird plant on it.
Hey, wait, real quick. Do you want more beer?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. I'm going to text Christine for some more beer. Anyways, continue with your tree analogy.
No, it's like, you know, like how some like an orchid, you know how some orchids will attack. An orchid is like a parasitic plant, but I don't want to use parasitic. I'm just saying like they're just this weird.
The word symbiosis.
Symbiosis. Yeah.
Interesting.
And they just work. They work with each other. And this is the best way to do it.
That's lovely.
It's something.
Yeah, man. So I got my port taken out last week.
You got your port taken. How'd that go?
It was good. It was like a normal, like I've been gone through so many surgeries that like surgery is just not a,
I've never been through.
It's
a
like
surgery.
Not a thing for me anymore. Like it was like a fucking checkup. Like there was about that much anxiety associated with it. It was like a checkup. And I was just like on my phone when they were asking me some questions and like it was the triage for the gastroenterology, and for the gastrointestinal people. And for the other people were in the same room. But for some reason, the GI people got swans. Like they got their bed sheets folded into swans, you know, like they do on cruise ships. And mine didn't. I told them that I'm going to refuse surgery unless they get me a swan.
That's cool.
So my surgery was delayed for a few hours, but I got a swan, so it's all right.
Yeah, I've never had a surgery at all.
Really?
Never. Yeah, never.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty, but whatever. It's not really that bad. Depends what the surgery is. You know?
I feel like it's just like going to sleep. Right?
No, not really. Not at all.
No? Actually.
Well, yeah, it's weird. It's like, it's kind of like going to sleep, but then you wake up really fucking sore and feeling shitty.
Oh, who fucked me?
Yeah, you feel... Yeah, exactly. It's like they fucked me in the chest. What? What is this new hole? Yeah, yeah, you know.
It's... Have you heard about like those dentists that like put their people, like the people in the laughing gas or that anesthesia or whatever,
and then fuck
just
them?
Like, yeah, and then just fuck them?
I've heard of that. Yeah,
that's so fucking twisted.
You know, being a dentist is boring.
Really?
Those dentistry patients were asking for it. Do you see what they were wearing? That bib? Come on.
Come on. Ooh, okay,
they were asking
for it. That mint green bib. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting. It feels like the last, kind of like the last vestige of my, but it doesn't at the same time. The last vestige of my cancer treatment. My mom's like, "Oh, it's a big deal." And I'm like, "Stop saying that." Like, no, it's not a big deal. The whole reason I get through this is not by making it a big deal. Like, that's if any of our listeners ever get cancer, all right,
we don't want you to get cancer.
Yeah, we don't want you to get cancer. But if you ever do,
keep on listening to the Black and Jew podcast.
First off, because you're gonna have a lot of free time. Okay. If you get cancer. Secondly, don't make such a big fucking deal about it. That'll make it better.
This is also valid advice.
That's why I got through it so well, because I did not make a big deal about it.
So you made your cancer feel like it wasn't cool? Like you just like...
Yeah, exactly. Like it wasn't exceptional.
Whatever, cancer.
Yeah. I
don't care.
Well, not with as much swagger as that, but... But, you know, I just like, it was like, I go to the hospital, I just treated it like a mundane job, you know, like that's worse than any job you ever had. But when I was going for chemo, I wasn't like, oh, it's a third chemo treatment today. Cause I don't know how many I got. I got like 100 or some shit, like 140, 150, some crazy number. And like, I was just like, oh, it's like going to the office, like the worst office ever where they torture you with chemicals. But, you know, I was never like, whoa, my life fucking sucks. Cause that's a horrible, and also sense of humor. About it is important too. So,
all right, cool.
Hopefully, none of you ever have to take this advice. But if you ever do, yeah, because my friend Andrea, we should have her on the podcast.
Cool.
Andrea would be good. I wonder if she's listening. Are you listening now, Andrea? No, you probably don't know how to subscribe to this on iTunes. She's probably cursing at her phone if she's listening to this right now. But yeah, like I would always talk to her on the phone. Right? She's the one who introduced me to Christine, actually.
Ah, nice, nice.
Yeah, I don't know if I told the story on the podcast, but. Yeah, she, like, we became friends because I was friends with her. I thought I was friends with her. I saw a post up on my wall, like, oh, third chemo treatment or something like that in a picture. And I was like, who the fuck is this person? And I texted her because I thought I knew her from the hospital. I'm like, hey, sorry if I knew you from the hospital and I forgot, but like, you know, if you ever want to talk or whatever, just here's my number. So I gave her my number. We became like really good friends, and she introduced me to Christine.
Nice.
The guise of introducing Christine to other cancer survivors. She's like, we're going to have a brunch with all my cancer friends. Like the girls that were in the Real Housewives of Chemotherapy, that video that I made. They're like, oh, we're going to introduce them to them, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. And then she really was lying, and she just introduced Christine to me.
Nice.
Because she saw Christine. She's like, oh, she's Mike's type.
Andrea is a bro.
She is a bro.
Shouts out to Andrea.
And what the fuck was I? But yeah, like I would always try to make her laugh about things. Be like, it's funny. Come on. Sometimes I make some mastectomy jokes that didn't go. Went over well with her, but probably wouldn't go over
well
with
other
people.
That's where her real nausea came in. It wasn't from the chemo. It was from you trying out cancer.
But she thought it was funny. Like, just because you can't. Cause I feel like if you make jokes about something, you take away, you sap the power from it. Like if someone's really self-serious, you know, and you poke fun at them, it just totally crumples. It's like the emperor has no clothes. Like, it just totally crumples.
You should just
up
write a book about how you killed cancer with poor jokes.
Bad jokes and cancer, a Michael Marinoff story.
Okay. So we both stumbled on the article about how hurricanes named after women kill more people because people don't take them as seriously. Oh my gosh. I was actually Haley, who's with Christine right now as we're recording this.
Uh-huh. She makes it sound like a sexy sex orgy.
In my head, it is. Uh-huh. So Haley turned me to this article, and I read the title, laughed, and then I read the whole thing, and I'm like, ah, damn, for real? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I guess they're just like, just gonna come in here and bitch and moan a little bit. And
What's the hurricane gonna do? Just have his period all over here? Man, fuck that hurricane. And then Katrina plows through the home.
I don't think they actually included Katrina. Because it was an outlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was an outlier.
Like an outlier, like deadly, deadly hurricane.
Oh, so then that means that the hurricane was so bad that it finally resonated like a man hurricane.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. You have to have, like Irene says on last podcast, how like you have to, like a woman has to say something four times. It's like you need to have four bad woman hurricanes. Like you had Sandy, you had Katrina, you get two more, and then you'll take the hurricane.
Finally, these female hurricanes will get the respect they deserve. It's so twisted that sexism even extends to hurricanes, like natural disasters.
That's
where we don't even like give respect to to the thing that could legitimately kill us. Not to say that women can't legitimately kill us, but you know.
Yeah, don't be sexist. Don't discount women for their murdering abilities, Reggie.
No, I do not.
Fucking patriarchy, goddammit.
You know we live in a patriarchy when I think women can kill us.
Yeah, exactly.
And when my hurricanes
they can operate
are
hand weapons, handguns.
That's so it's crazy because it's a hurricane, like whatever the hell I name a hurricane. Although I think we should name hurricanes McBurgerfuck gonna kill you.
McBurgerfuck gonna kill you.
I don't know, just something like crazy.
That is the weirdest name for McBurgerfuck gonna kill you. what would the next one be like
Tender chicken go
chicken
fuck
tender
yourself.
Genocide or something.
Yeah, they should all have like a theme of around like famous fast food burgers and like a curse word. Like it's a hurricane.
Yeah,
that should be the only thing. But you know,
it's like how you're supposed to treat women like human beings. It's
just
they're
like
humans.
That.
But no, fuck them. Same thing with hurricanes.
Oh, gosh, I hope there's like a feminist hurricane movement. Where.
Dude, I'm still upset about the Elliot Rodgers. Well, not just the Elliot Rodgers thing. I'm still upset. I'm upset about that, but I'm upset about the backlash on the internet.
You're upset?
Because there's so much fucking misogyny out there, man. It's like I was just on 4chan before you came over here.
Oh, wow. That's
and
very good
And this guy's
practice.
Had like a feminist hate thread, right? Because Cracked had this article about the men's rights movement. Do you know about the men's rights movement?
I know that it's probably total horseshit.
Yeah, it's like all the rhetoric on men's rights is it's not pro-men, it's anti-feminism, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These guys had a hate thread, a feminist hate thread, right? About how much they hated feminism, et cetera, And like they were so angry about it, they proved everything in the Cracked article right, because the Cracked article was saying, like, you know, MRA, they're angry. Like, there's just so much anger and misogyny. It's fucking terrifying to me. And I'm not even a woman. Like, when a woman goes on the internet, what she reads must be how I feel when I watch neo-Nazis and how you feel when you watch KKK rallies. Just like, do you ever get that feeling? Like, you ever seen like footage of a KKK rally or something? Yes. And you just get that like, fuck, there's people out there like that. They want me to die. Like, you just get like free floating anxieties. Ever happen to you?
Yeah. No, yeah, that, I totally get that.
Yeah. And I feel that way when I see neo-Nazis. Like, there's this new documentary coming out about how fucking this monitor sucks. About how there's like this town being taken over by neo-Nazis in North Dakota. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, fuck, there's like a town neo-Nazi North Dakota where I'd never go, but still, fuck, there's like a whole town of people that don't like us.
How does a town get overtaken by
so a lot of neo-Nazis? It's a small town. It's like 125 people or if that, you know, it's crazy.
That's fucking like, okay. So they try to like
root themselves in the government, et cetera, et cetera.
Does one neo-Nazi go in and then he just starts talking to his neighbor at a barbecue? Yeah, you know, like Jews control the bank. And then he's like,
the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they do, don't they?
Tim Black smell funny.
Right? Don't they? I don't know why I invited Tim over here. He's a Latino. You know what they say about Latinos. That's crazy. And yeah, you know, I do agree with you. Like, there's just so much misogyny.
It's like, and like violent, angry misogyny that is terrifying. Like, and all of these people, I guarantee you on that thread, and I hate to pull this card, but it's true. It's like, I bet no one on that thread has gotten laid within the past month. There's no way. And that's where the anger, like, I feel like there's a lot of entitlement in it. A lot of pissy entitlement, you know? It's like, one woman fuck me, I'm amazing. I deserve it. I did everything the TV show
look
said.
Look at me, I'm on 4chan.
Yeah. It's like wasting my life away. Why wouldn't a woman want me? You know?
Damn. That's and a whole thread about anti-feminism.
Oh, they pop up every day.
Oh, definitely.
And I was on there like, fuck these guys. But like, no one responded to me except guys that were like, you're right, bro. These guys are bitter assholes. But the whole article.
Uncracked? Like,
they were proving the article right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like, let me pull it up right now.
Okay,
keep talking.
My understanding of MRA is like, yeah, this whole like a red pill type, this red pill shit. Have you heard about this?
That's like, yeah, sort of tangentially related.
Yeah, like how this you know, like, take the red pill, just be aware that dudes, you're not in control of anything, or like, you know, like, dudes, you know,
I'm gonna wise up. Gonna read the manifesto of the red pill right now.
Oh, you're gonna read it?
It says, where is it?
Where do we go?
It's like red pill is like men's rights had like had like a retarded baby with pickup artists.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember negging? Do you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's part of the pickup artist.
That's
thing.
So stupid. Who fell for that? Like, no one's fallen for that since 2007.
I don't think so. Wait.
Okay, you got it? No.
No. Wait, I'm trying to find the red.
You know, crack.com recently had a thing where they were trying to recruit writers.
All right, here.
Oh.
They always do that.
Oh.
Just sign up for the forums. You can sign up on the sign up for free. All right. So it's a feminist claim. We want, this is what the red pill's fundamental beliefs. Feminists claim they want equality, but what they really want is power without responsibility. Women are irrational and inconsistent. A logical woman is easily baited into becoming emotional. Women are easy to compromise. Women are Machiavellian in nature. This means they're comparatively proficient at being manipulative versus the typical male. Women love pragmatically and have no capacity to love unconditionally for romantic partners. Like, it, like, that's fucking insane. Like, that people think that, like what the fuck? That's insane. Like, have you never met an emotional man? Like, they exist all over the place. And they're the reason that domestic abuse shelters exist.
Holy shit. Yeah. To think that like someone could be bagging my groceries and thinking, man, women are inherently Machiavellian. Just, don't touch my groceries, you red pill MRA bastard. Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's like, and with the thing about MRAs, right? Is look, there's crazy feminists out there. I'll give you that. But the thing is that the feminist discussion isn't as dominated as men's rights discussions by the vitriol against, because men's rights, it's, well, the problem I have with it, okay, is that it's not pro-men, it's anti-feminism. Yeah. You know, like they don't talk about, because there are men specific issues, right, that don't get addressed, right? Like men as victims of domestic violence, men as victims of rape, the court system, you know, not granting custody more to women than men. Those things exist, right? And the MRA, ostensibly, they're like, yeah, we totally advocate for that. But really, if you read the rhetoric, it's like, it's all about like how feminists are ruining the world or how men get raped. False rape accusations, and it's just anger and hatred towards women, and it's crazy because I think they're like either bitter divorce guys or guys that haven't had sex, so you know, or don't have sex or have had sex at some point but not anymore.
I think it always stems from somebody getting severely hurt in some small, in like in any way, you know. I've definitely had my moments in my life where I'm like, man, fuck women, but then and then I quickly check myself and I'm like, no. That's not it right now. That's not it ever.
Yeah.
It's
but it takes a certain amount of emotional strength and mental fortitude to do, which a lot of people don't have.
Thank you.
It's true.
It's just like they take their pain and then like they're funneling it towards this. And it's just like, it's like this, it's like a hose just spraying wildly, like, you know, hitting everything.
They're not spraying all over the place, and that's the problem. That's what it says in number four. They hate women because it justifies their suffering. The guy who wrote this article, who is it? J.F. Sargent. He's good. I like Cracked. Cracked is really good. Great Cracked website.
Really good.
I learned a lot of interesting factoids that make me good at Jeopardy on Cracked. But yeah, I really like this article. And of course, there's going to be backlash and shit. People were raging on 4chan about it.
Yeah, people. I think it comes. I think I've said this before, but people just want to validate their own suffering. They want to validate their own unhappiness. No one will ever. Well, not many people will ever admit to them being unhappy through because, their own means.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do.
That's a very
lot of people won't do it, and that's why. And that's why.
That's why, you know, people are searching for external forces or being this way about.
That's a part of immaturity too. I think is that you don't. Go look inside to find your own happiness. You're just constantly blaming it on someone else.
It's so twisted how like the mental loops you make just to like, you know, like blame someone else. Like, you can't see yourself like in a mirror and say, I'm unhappy because of me.
Yeah. It's hard to do.
Yeah. It is very hard to do. And perception is such a strong thing. Like it always amazes me how just the way we perceive anything will always affect how we go through life. In this case, it's with MRAs and like these these red pill guys that just like, they just hate, like, you know, they just like, they spew this anti-feminist rhetoric and that's the way they go about, that's how they go to sleep. You know what I mean? Like, that's how like, man, women won't fuck me because X amount of reasons.
Yeah.
Good night. And then that's it. They go to sleep well, and then like they bag groceries again. They touch my grape jelly.
I like this idea of the grocery bagging.
Because it's everywhere, man. Yeah. It is everywhere. No one's openly racist unless otherwise.
Unless
you know?
You're like in certain parts of the South.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Or at a Cuban barbecue.
You don't
or
know
something.
Who you're working with that has this certain. Like recently, I heard. Okay. I was talking to my friend, she doesn't listen to this. I was talking to my friend Natalie.
Yeah.
And she's Cuban, but her mom is I don't know if she's Afro-Cuban. Mm-hmm. I think she's Afro-Cuban. But basically Natalie, you know, she sees like she has like, you know, Afro-Cuban roots.
Yeah.
So she partly identifies as black, or like she at least, you know, like has some identity towards it. And I got her a job at the Heat store.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the Heat don't find this, But whatever. You know what? I'm not working there. And not to get Natalie in trouble. But so anyway, she's talking to one of her supervisors. And like one of her supervisors is half black. But, you know, her external, you know, her race is easily identified as just Latina, you know? Like,
yeah.
So she's there and like she's talking with her supervisor and her supervisor says, so like, you know, she's playing some DMX in the store, like some rap music. And then like she says, oh, that's a cool song. And then she's like, yeah. I like really hard rap. And then she's like, me too. And then she's like, but her supervisor says, no, but I like really hard rap. You probably won't get it. And then she's like, I like hard rap too. And then she names some artists, but then she's like, no. I like hard rap. And then like she gets, you know, and then, you know, she starts talking to her some more.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just let me stop. I'm just trying to say how like we don't know who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
How far someone is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then she starts talking to her and then she's like, oh, I only date black men, right?
Wait, so are these both women?
Yeah, these are both women.
Oh, okay.
And then she's like, oh, I only date black men. And then she's like, and then she says, oh, yeah. You know, there's some hot black guys. Yeah. This is Natalie speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, and then her supervisor says, and I can't stand black girls. They're so ugly, especially like the ones from Africa.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I think it's funny. We're the entire time we're having this conversation about feminism, I've been texting Christine to get me beer.
Thanks, Toots. Now go make me a steak.
He said it, not me. He said it. That's totally him.
I'm just kidding. I had dinner already.
you had dinner at a place called Uncle Tom's.
Yeah, I know.
That's very unblack and well,
go do the dishes. Go do the dishes like a woman should. No, I
what? Really? What'd you make?
Shrimp curry.
Oh, you gave her some of the shrimp curry? That was our shrimp curry. How do you give someone else our shrimp curry? So now it's your shrimp curry? God damn it.
That's right. She's coming in your house, snatching up your food. You know what? She's going to leave.
I actually did some of the dishes, too.
You did some? Hey, I did some of the dishes, too.
Yeah. All right.
Not your dishes.
Aren't I the best boyfriend in the world?
Aren't I the best boyfriend in the world?
Well, she doesn't know.
I'll answer yes. Then I'll venture to say yes.
You'll venture. She'll venture. She says, she'll venture to say that Reginald is one of the best.
He's number two.
Probably. He's number two under Michael. I will hazard a guess.
Thank you, Christine.
My girlfriend came. She walked out of the TV from Downton Abbey.
I think your girlfriend is from Downton Abbey. I handed Haley.
She says
the
things sometimes that sound very Downton Abbey. I'm enjoying drinking while podcasting. It's fun,
right? I feel a bit.
You need more beer,
right? So
too late now.
Yeah, too late now. I can't ask your woman to get me.
Should I ask her to get you a beer?
No, don't. It's okay. Thank you, though.
You don't want one?
No, I don't want one.
Because you're a fucking pussy.
Yeah, I am a pussy. So anyway, so then she
says... So let's go back to your story that I interrupted with my beer drinking.
No, there was a whole little segment we had that was by far. So anyway, she says this.
Yeah.
So in the same breath that, you know, she chastises black women, she mm-hmm. also fetishizes black men. And then like... And then, like, you know, totally denies, like, the racial identity of my friend here.
Yeah.
So, I get, you know, like, again, what I'm trying to say is that you
damn,
don't
dude,
know.
Damn, dude, you broke that shit down. Like, motherfucking 1-2-3 punch.
Thank you. By the way, I'm not. Look, what I'm trying to say is that we don't know who we're dealing with all the time. And then, like, this permeates into everything, you know, that we do and how we're doing it. Like, I remember this article where this lady
Christine's rubbing off on you. To reference an article.
This lady, she tried to apply to jobs over monster.com, right?
Yeah.
This black lady, and she has, you know, like her name is Latoya, I think.
Yeah.
Or I'm just saying that, I'm sorry. But her name was Latoya. She puts out a resume as with her real name, and then she makes a fake one with her name as Samantha.
I heard about this, yeah.
Yeah, her resume as Samantha got more hits than her resume as Latoya.
Well, obviously, because black people aren't as good at workers.
Oh, of course.
White people. That's
what
why.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually,
you're like,
you.
Some stereotypes are true. That's some, what you're trying to say.
Some are very true. So, you know, yeah. this whole thing permeates everywhere. And, like, you know, it just gets, you know, just like with the town you're telling me about with the neo-Nazis. Those neo-Nazis will have kids.
Yeah.
And then those kids will probably.
Probably,
you know,
a lot of kids.
Yeah, probably a lot of kids. Holy shit, man. That's fucking crazy.
Makes me nervous, man. But I feel like as a woman, you got to feel like that about so many. Because, like, there's way more, like, hardcore misogynists than there are hardcore racists.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, probably the same misogynist will be like, whoa, 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 what you say about black people?
Exactly, right? It's true. It's like, this guy is a racist asshole. He's almost as bad. He's almost as bad as that dumb bitch that I saw yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And, like, that's, I don't know, it's scary to me.
It's very scary. It's just scary that I think just hate in general is scary.
Like, me
just,
too.
Just hate.
Unless it's directed at Tiesto, because he sucks. He's a horrible DJ. Horrible DJ.
He is not. I've seen him perform live because I worked at one of his concerts.
Oh, God, you poor bastard.
He is. Yeah, he's not that good. He's not that good.
He's, dude, he is fucking travesty. He is like the Holocaust of dance music. All right, maybe we're a little too far there. A little Godwin's Law. Evoking Hitler. Do you know what? Hey, you know what? I think that, what was your friend's name again? Nell?
Yeah, Nell.
Nell needs to write into the podcast and ask us
Nell
a question.
Nell needs, come on.
I summon you, Nell.
Right into the podcast now.
Nell, right in.
Hey, don't you, someone wrote in.
Yes, I know. That's what I was about to do.
Someone wrote in.
Yeah,
please.
Christine wrote in.
Hey, Christine wrote in.
With somebody. So Nell, I say Nell and Josh, you both people that listen to the podcast. And what's your friend's name?
Natalie? No. Oh, Jared.
Jared. I know you guys listen to the podcast. Write in. Ask us a question. Tweet us at Black and Jew Pod. Or email us at blackandjewpodcast@gmail.com. Or just text us because...
Yeah,
you know
just
us.
Text us.
You know us personally. You can just text us. We're not at the point where we're our listeners don't have our personal contact information.
We should
information
just start
yet.
Faking it. Just
make up things.
Make up really horrible things.
Shit. Give it away.
Nah, they wouldn't see it coming.
Just be like, I hate how there's this Negro thinking he's up in a Negro on the podcast. All right.
Mike, this one was from you.
We're running short, man. Even my parents are bored. All right, so let's see. Hi, thanks for taking my question. I'm a big fan. Like, what? Like, how am I going to sleep with you at night if I don't take your question? I guess you're trying to make it sound like it's not her. Because, we actually have people writing in. And so, hi, thank you for taking the question. I'm a big fan of the show. My question is, when did you first know you were funny? Also, what is your favorite topping for sourdough bread? And what do you think of the Heat's playoff strategy so far?
Very good. It's adorable. Very good questions. Do you want to take...
Let's
you
take
go
one
first?
At a time.
Okay.
When did you know you were funny?
When did I know I was funny? Damn. Let's see. Okay, so when did I know I was funny? That's a really... Without sounding very conceited,
yeah.
One of the things that factored into my funniness was that, or when I knew I was funny, was that I felt like I was always technically on stage,
yeah.
Because I grew up like the only black kid in my neighborhood,
yeah.
And a lot of people expected something from me, like since kindergarten till elementary
school. Expected something? They're like, show me your dick. Show me that big old dick. Show me that big old dick.
The amount of times people have referenced my dick. Is unimaginable. Like
one more, right here.
So yeah, exactly.
Should we call Haley in and ask her what she thinks?
She'll tell you I got great stroke game. She knows to lie. I ran her through the procedure. You're supposed to lie just enough. So that's one thing. And two, I guess I really realized I guess I'm kind of funny. Was around like maybe high school when I had this teacher by the name of Hortensia Cardona, who's a phenomenal person, who's mm-hmm. the one person who told me, like, hey, yeah, I think you can do comedy. My friend Darwin was always in the class, and I'd make him crack up.
Yeah.
And I'd always play the straight man. He'd always be the one laughing, and then she'd always call my bullshit. And then I'd always, like, make these, like, in-class remarks.
So you had, like, a vaudeville act going.
Yeah. You know, I was always Jackie Gleason. He was the other guy. And I'd always make remarks. I would make the class laugh, but in a way where everyone, I think I realized that if you can make the teacher laugh, you're going to get away with it. So that's when I realized, I guess I'm kind of funny.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was my thing. When did you realize you were funny?
When did I realize I was funny? Let me try to think about the earliest instance of thinking. I know in middle school, at least, that people told me I was funny. Like, I feel like such an asshole talking about this. I don't know. I'm like, well, when did I know it was funny? Like inside the actor studio, you know? Like, it was very early. But I remember some kid asked me, like, he asked me if I wrote the things that I said before I went to class. And I'm like, no, I just kind of think of them on the spot. And I was like, he's like, so what do you do to be funny? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I told him one thing that you can do. And I think it was like in sixth grade. I was like, one thing you can do is...
It's fart noises. Fart noises are always a crowd pleaser. If you could do it real good with your armpit, that's great.
Now, I remember it was after I made a joke about the KKK. I forget what it was.
Wow,
exactly.
Little Mike hitting it hard.
Yeah, yeah. And was edgy. What can I say? And I said something, and then he was like, how do you make people laugh? Like, how do you be funny? And I was like, oh, one thing you can do is if you say something funny, you could reference it later. And that's what a callback is. I didn't know at the time that's what a callback was. But I remember once, like, I don't know. I feel like I was always very diplomatic, you know? Like, I never was, like, one for competition when I was younger to a great degree, right? So, like, I think that being funny is a way to be diplomatic and, like, kind of diffuse situations.
No, yeah.
You know? Because it's, like, the opposite of confrontation.
Especially when you're young.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you know, you'll have a lot of people always say, like, you know, you're hanging out with the older kids.
Yeah.
So you had to make yourself valuable or you had to please don't beat me up. So you were either funny or something.
So you turn tricks behind them.
Yeah.
elementary school.
Tricks. You give them like the meanest middle school hand jobs ever. Middle school hand jobs. I also remember I was always very surrounded by very funny people. People who I always thought were like, holy shit, why are you this funny? You know we're only seven, right?
Like, you should not be on this level of cultural commentary.
Right? I was like so... It was fucking crazy to me.
Yeah.
The funniest thing ever was in middle school. I had this friend. His name was Andres. And he used to make this joke where... Okay. There was a kid in my school.
Yeah.
His name was Adil. And the nickname that Andres gave him was Adildo.
Yeah.
It was so fucking perfect. A dildo. It was, I couldn't imagine how great that fucking name was. I lost my shit every time someone yelled across the hall, hey, what's up? It's a dildo. It's a dildo. It was so fucking perfect. That's that type of shit holy crap. Why aren't you writing for Conan right now? Like, I know we're only 13, but you need to write for Conan. And then he did this other thing where he'd go like, he'd do the wave with his arms and he'd bounce on his chair and he'd say, Bingalicious. And he'd just like do that for like oh my gosh, that was the funniest thing ever.
But high school is not as far away for you as it is for me. You'd say Pingalicious?
Yeah, Pingalicious. He'd just say Pingalicious and then he'd just like, he'd shake his arms and bounce.
When I was in high school, I was such an asshole to my teachers. Like, we would have this German class. I had this teacher who's really amazing, amazing teacher. The one I talked to you about him before. And he's the one who spoke like Japanese. Oh, you need to adjust the microphone. Yeah. He's the one who spoke Japanese and like Spanish and German and English and all that shit. And like, I remember I would do like running commentary on like the cheesy German videos. Oh my God. And like half of the time he was laughing and half of the time he's like, Mike, shut the fuck up. He would get really pissed off. He's like, Mike,
I would make
jokes all the time. Like when I was in marine biology class, I remember I'd always make jokes and like, the teacher was cool. Like, he would always wear like fish shirts and shit. Like,
like my high school marine biology teacher.
Yeah.
His name
What's
was
up with high school marine biology teachers?
They're the weirdest people. Okay. My high school marine biology teacher, two rumors. One, he played football professionally.
Uh-huh.
And two, he has a huge dick.
Uh-huh.
That's the rumor that was going around.
Interesting.
That's
was he black? Was he a real black guy? Did he listen to hardcore rap? Yeah. Continue.
No, and he just had a bunch of strange skeletons and animals in his
room. This guy wasn't weird. He was just cool as fuck. Which I think was kind of good because we all respected him. So, like, they made a policy. I forget what it was. It was, like, we're all wearing the ID badges. And, like, he was like, you guys are being idiots about this. Like you guys, like, you're complaining, but really you have no authority. You're at school. You're at a high school. This isn't a democracy. And then, like, but everyone kind of respected him because he was cool. Yeah. You know? Like, I would make jokes sometimes. And, like, sometimes I would make them and they would just fall completely flat. And, like, one, I remember I made one and, like, everyone just looked at me. And he's like, Mike, what are you talking about? He's just like, that was horrible.
I remember when one of my class jokes fell flat. I was never a class clown, but when I got into it, we were talking about this, like, it was like in the fourth grade, and we were talking about a story that was a play that, like, had, I forget what it was, but basically one of the characters had a suit on in the play,
yeah.
Like two of the characters. And I'm like, oh, so like the Men in Black? And then she's like, what? Like, you know, like the Men in Black. And then she's like, I don't get it. Stop.
How did she not get it?
That was the hardest I've ever bombed.
And no bomb is as bad as that.
No.
Bombing in front of the class is no fun.
Hell no.
I don't know. I always felt like I was, but I've learned to reel it in. That's an important part of comedy, is learning when to stop as much as it is.
Yeah.
Learning when to start. Cause like, yeah, sometimes I would just take it too far, you know, or whatever. And it would get annoying.
Yeah.
But I don't really do that as much anymore. So I don't know. But as far as when I thought it was funny when I was younger, I thought it was like, I was the funny kid. Like, I remember when I was in elementary school, this kid would be like, you're an idiot. You're a fucking idiot. And I'm like, you're right. I am an idiot. Yeah, I'm a moron. Please lay on the insults. I appreciate it. And he stopped.
I used to be real good at Yo Mama. Like, yeah. Kid. Yeah.
You're killing it with the Yo Mama jokes.
Hell yeah. You had to know how to spit like Yo Mama game.
Yo Mama game?
Yeah.
It sounds like a weird modern conceptual artist. Yo so Mama game.
So what's the next question? What was the next
one? All right. The next question. What's your favorite sourdough bread topping?
You're
getting a loaf today.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit. No way. Shut
yeah.
up.
Yeah. It's your loaf.
That's my loaf. The it's one your in loaf the kitchen?
Today. Yes. The one in the kitchen wrapped in plastic.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Cause Irene was saying that you've never had a loaf, and it's true. You never had a loaf.
I've never had. Part of me not having a loaf is because I just felt it'll one. Why should I ask? Like, why should I ask? Because that's imposing too much. Like, I feel
no,
like,
it's not.
Two. I felt like, yeah. Oh, it'll just come. It'll come when it comes.
Oh, you should have asked before, but whatever.
So my favorite topping is, I think when you guys toasted the bread and rubbed a tomato on it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
The pan con tomate.
Yeah, that was my favorite. When you just rubbed the tomato on it, that was really good.
Yeah, my favorite topping? It's hard. I made a grilled cheese sandwich with one. Mm-hmm. That was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That was good. What's my favorite way? My favorite topping is like, we make this lemon chicken, right?
Yeah.
And it's like garlic and thyme and olive oil and lemons and all this shit. And you cut it up and put it in a pan and you roast it. And it's got all this oil. It's really good. It's like a chicken gravy. Well, not really a chicken gravy, but like, yeah, you get the point.
Yeah.
And it's like this really good juicy oil with all the chicken fat in it. And I put it over the bread and the bread absorbs it. And it's like fucking amazing.
Holy shit.
Yes, fuck.
And like your bread has.
You should make this with your girlfriend. You should make it with Haley.
This.
You should make it at her house.
My God.
Ina Garten's lemon chicken. I'll send you the recipe. Ina Garten's
do.
The shit.
Please do.
And it's fucking delicious, man.
And like and your bread has this like lovely sponginess to which that like it just, I know it'll absorb those juices so well.
It's like so good,
and
dude.
And like I've seen the inside of your bread, and it's like this wonderful webbiness. Like it's like,
it's called the crumb.
It's called the crumb. That's what it's called.
That whole those holes in it. Those that's called the crumb.
Okay, thank you. Wow. Okay. Next question.
What? I'm not being a.
I'm just kidding.
You're like, whoa, taking it back.
All right.
But, you know, I always reference the crumb. You don't know what the crumb is.
And,
you
like,
know what
it's the crumb so, is. And it's so shiny, too. Like, it has this nice little, like, luminosity to it. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to get that loaf. Next question. Let's end this podcast now.
He's excited about the loaf. And what do you think of the Heat's playoff strategy so far?
I've actually caught a couple of the games.
Yeah.
Now I can enjoy them.
Why? Because it's playoff season?
One, because I'm not working there anymore.
Mm.
By the way, a little update. I might work for the Coral Gables Arts Cinema.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. I love that place.
Yeah, there. I might work there, so we'll see how it goes.
Cool, I'll come
Hopefully
by.
Hopefully they'll call me, like, you know, this week. But I think whatever they've been doing has been fantastic because they totally wrecked the Pacers. Like this, this past, like, they're the Eastern Conference, like, champs.
Yeah.
Now they're going to go against the Spurs. So it's a repeat of last year.
Yeah.
And the Spurs are always killing it. Tim Duncan, which, yeah, he's on the Spurs, is an amazing.
I know Josh is so pissed off right now. He's like, God damn it.
What? Josh, I'm doing well. You know what? We should just fuck this and just make up weird shit about this.
No, just keep going. Keep going.
Okay, so Tim Duncan, he's an amazing, like, power forward, I want to say.
I don't know.
I'm not going to look it up. Whatever. He's an amazing player. But, like, the Heat, whatever they've been doing has been gold. Like, they're playing Norris Cole more, and he's been, like, stepping it up. Bosch has been stepping it up.
Do you know how tall Norris Cole is?
No.
6'2".
He's 6'2"? He's as tall. He's 1 inch taller than me.
You're 6'1"?
Yeah.
You're two. You're wait. That would make you 3 inches taller than me. Really? I didn't know that.
I feel.
Oh, because I'm like 5'11".
Really?
5'10", something like that. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Well. Anyway, 6'2"? How do you know that?
Because I go to the doctor and they measure me every time.
And then they tell you, fun fact, Mike.
No, I look at the thing that they measure me with. Because it's a pediatric clinic, so, like, the kids grow, you know?
Oh, and they measure them right next to basketball players.
Yeah, no, because they measure me to see if my height has changed. Well, it hasn't changed, obviously, but it's like, since it's a pediatric clinic, part of the protocol is to measure height.
Yeah.
So I know what my height is very specifically.
Okay. All right, well, cool. But anyway, Bosch, the last couple of games, he has been just raining the threes, and I don't know what it is, but there's a switch in him. He's turned on. So I
thought Bosch has really been really bad at making threes.
I think
Brett, I have no idea. I know Ray Allen kills it with the threes.
I know I haven't offered any strategy. The only thing I say, just keep on doing what you're doing and make that home run, you know, make a bunch of home runs.
I like basketball, but I like it only in the playoffs. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, why can't I just casually like basketball? Why do I have to be a hardcore fan of basketball? I don't understand. Like, why can't I just like it during the playoffs? Like, I don't scream at someone for not reading the Song of Ice and Fire and just casually liking Game of Thrones. The fuck, you got to be such, like, who gives it? Like,
I don't even like
sports that much. So what do I think of the strategy? I think that it's good because they're winning. So there you go.
Bam. That's, you know,
that honestly, what I just said right there is about as good as you're going to get out of LeBron James in an interview. Because LeBron James, like, every sports interview is useless, essentially.
What are they saying? I think we played hard. I think they played hard. I brought my A game, and you know, it was a team effort. Bam, that's it. None of them are like,
it's never anything useful. I've never heard something in a sports interview that I've been like, that was actually insightful.
They don't use like literary allusions. Like, come on,
literary allusion.
Reference it to something like,
he's like, as Chaucer said.
Yeah, Matt Brogner has a brilliant joke about that. Where he's like, man, just like Jean-Paul Sartre said, you know, hell is being with your own peers, and that's how it felt in the sack. Go Pacers.
Oh,
go Broncos. I don't know. Fuck that.
Who cares? Sports is, you know, I'm not a big sports guy.
I can't assign importance to a ball.
Yeah. Ooh, that was deep, Reggie. That was very existential. To the next Nietzsche.
Then again, I'm not being paid $1 million to chase it around. So.
Oh, that'd be great. Be so great. No, it wouldn't. Because then I feel like one injury just ends your entire career forever, you know? And I know I would injure myself because
I want to get the the Juwan Howard deal, where he was on the Heat for 2 years, uh-huh. got two rings, and then became a coach.
No shit.
Yeah, he just sat down the whole time.
That's awesome.
He just sat down. And he's like, I'm a coach
from the sidelines.
I'm a coach now. All right.
So wait, what's his position now on the Heat? He's a coach.
Yeah, he's a coach.
Assistant coach.
No, like he's one. Like he's a coach, not a, maybe an assistant coach. I don't know. It's Juwan Howard.
Josh, tell us, write us in to the podcast. Tell us how stupid we were.
It just be
just now.
A bunch of like expletives in full caps.
Exactly. All right. So let's. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right. Where can they find you, Reggie?
They can find me, Ratchet Reggie. I'm gonna be tweeting more consistently, guys. All right. If you haven't, you know, tuned in this week, I had some pretty bomb ass tweets. Samsung support tweeted right back at me.
No shit. Samsung. I gotta check that out. As you can find me at Mike Marianoff on Twitter and Mike Marianoff Comedy on Facebook.
You can find the podcast at Black and
Jew
Pod.
Yeah, at Black and Jew Pod. And please write in. Please, fans, write in.
Write in. Apparently, we have 135 likes on Facebook.
Yeah, one of you guys write in per episode. We're good for 135 episodes once we're well into the triple digits.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So until next time.
Until next time.